We are now joined by the voice of Vol Baseball, John Wilkerson. John, it's been a fun time, I'm sure, for you. We appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it, Jason and Ramon. Thank you so much. It has been a remarkable season. And let me just first say that I think I'd have to go buy a nose with loud muffler guy over shopping cart guy.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Loud muffler. But you said buy a nose, so you don't like shopping cart guy either, right?
Correct. Both are could possibly ruin your day, but just loud muffler guy that has to hit it from just one block, one traffic light to the next is what separates it to me.
Well, nobody's been able to take it down yet. Somebody compared him to Nick Saban earlier and just said, I don't know what's ever going to defeat that. But you tell me, when was it you realized something special was happening for Vol Baseball with Tony Vitello and this crew? Because I think this has caught a lot of people that weren't paying attention somewhat off guard. But I know you being close to it, maybe it didn't catch you as off guard as it has some of the other folks out here.
Well, I think that something started to bubble to the surface. What really, I think, set it apart was that first SEC weekend. They're on the road at Georgia because Tony Vitello has yet to open an SEC schedule at home. Thank you very much, Greg Sankey. But anyhow, so they go to Foley Field. They win big on Friday. They have a tough setback. They lose in the bottom of the ninth on Saturday. And then they come out Sunday, a freshman making his first pitch, his first start in the Southeastern Conference. And they simply controlled the day. They went 4-1. It wasn't even really that close. And when the game was over and the series had been won, they celebrated, but they didn't go nuts. This was their expectation. And this was already a team that had lost the one pitcher on their roster that had been designated preseason All-American in Jackson Lees. They had lost him for the season. It was week two that he worked the three batters in his home start. And then, unfortunately, Jackson Lees was lost for the season. So to just see them set that tone, that Friday night game was Tony Vitello's 100th win as Tennessee's head coach. But the fact that they went down to Georgia, got the job done, and then just acted like this is what we expected to do, that set such a tone. They had won at Georgia Southern to open the season, but to get that first road win, that road series win in Georgia, that lets you know something was perhaps cooking. And then they took care of LSU. They won three very tough games in week two. Then they won the rubber match at Alabama. And, I mean, it's just been one thing after another. But to me, the tone was set with how they won, went and won at Georgia, and then two, acted like this is what we thought would happen.
Mm-hmm. Just in general, you know, the way, like you said, Tennessee's acting as far as what they've done. Like, it seems to me they've taken on the persona of Tony Vitello. What does he mean to those guys? You know, like, I know the age of recruiting and how you recruit and how you attract these high prospects to your university is very, very complex. Is he doing everything he needs to get these guys and to sell them on, hey, this is Tennessee baseball from here on out as long as he's here?
Ramon, it's been amazing to watch because there's been as much development done from the neck up as from just making themselves the best possible position players, pitchers, you name it, they can be. Mm-hmm. Because when he arrived, and you could see it in previous administrations, that Tennessee would get off to a good start, but then SEC play would come along, and I think one of the big hurdles for them was to look over to that dugout and stop thinking, wow, that's an SEC team. Because Tennessee now realizes it's an SEC team. So it was as much the mental approach that has been as big a factor for this program with Tony Vitello and his staff as anything, because that's what they've shown. I think one of the more amazing stats, might be the most amazing stat, Tennessee lost back-to-back games just once this year, and that was both ends of a nine-inning doubleheader week two against Indiana State. They never lost back-to-back games against SEC competition, not once. Mm-hmm. And to me, that tells you you've got a team that has the faith and the belief in itself to get the job done, and you also have a lineup and a pitching staff. Somebody usually steps up to make that big play. You're not relying on just one guy to start the weekend on the mound. You're not relying on just one guy in the lineup to have the big hit. Everybody's had a hand in it, and I think it starts from their approach, and they do indeed embody what is the approach by their head coach in Tony.
One thing I've learned about our fan base, and I had to learn it all over again being back in Tennessee and being retired right now, is we are crazy. and we love our teams, okay? I can say that. You know how they say, well, you can say that because you family. Like, we're family.
Why don't you go back to Alabama?
Yeah.
The like, Jeremy Pruitt
call. All of those type of things, okay? We're crazy, and we sell out, and that's the beauty and also the curse of it. But you're a guy who's calling the calls. You're calling these games. If you could, this super regional, how was it for you? How was it for the people who are intended and attendance? And just what is the energy around this team right now?
Well, it's amazing, and it's really been something to see. And first and foremost, these guys deserve it.
Yeah.
When they had their season cut short, as everybody else did last year with COVID, they came back with a fire in the fall, and they worked as hard as they possibly could. And then as they got to go back on the field, they really appreciated it. It was a very simple mantra. It wasn't Omaha. It wasn't this. The first thing was play 56. You can't make up for lost time, but let's play 56. Tennessee and Texas A&M were the only two teams to play all 56 regular season games, and the Vols were the only team in the SEC tournament that played all 56. So it's just a very specific goal. And Coach Vitello said the great thing about it was that, you know, I'm sorry I don't have higher goals or aspirations, but this is what's most important to me in terms of my players. And I think the fact that they were picked third in the Eastern Division behind reigning College World Series champ from 2019, Vanderbilt, which was picked second, and preseason number one, Florida, this is a team that has met and far exceeded expectations. And I think it's a fan base, as you talk about, that is just so starved for something like this, because Tennessee football, we may not remember, was picked third in the Eastern Division, won their first two, and then it was just a disaster from that point forward. In the SEC, Tennessee basketball was picked to win the conference. And while they did have pockets of success, didn't get past that first game in the NCAA tournament, and I know that had to be a disappointment. I don't think you can fault the effort, but I just think it fell short of expectations. This is a team that has exceeded to a great degree what was the expectation going into this year. And I just think that this is a program that continues to be the sum is greater than their parts. It's a team that's so easy to like. It's a team that plays with a chip on its shoulder. It's a team with attitude. It's a team with swagger. And I think all of that is that perfect storm for what a fan base could easily fall in love with, and they certainly have.
Vol Baseball's voice, John Wilkerson, also WNML and the Vol Network, joining us. The grand slam, the walk-off grand slam from Drew Gilbert, where does that rank in terms of your career, John? You've been around this for a very, very long time. And, you know, college baseball is not usually where you go to for highlights. And, of course, you've done a lot outside of the baseball world. But where does that moment rank in recent Knoxville history in terms of just one of those that you're never going to forget?
Yeah, I think it's the biggest moment for me on that field. Mike Keith was the voice of Tennessee baseball when Todd Helton and company punched their ticket to the College World Series. And to me, that's the only bigger moment on that field that's taken place. That was in 95. And then if Tennessee doesn't get that hit from Drew Gilbert, they're back where they were in the SEC tournament. You go into the loser's bracket and you have to play. You go from playing and trying to win three games to then having to play five games and win four straight. So I just think for all that it saved Tennessee from, as well as kept them in the winner's bracket, I do think that is the second biggest moment on that field. The only thing I would rank ahead of it was when they punched their tickets to the College World Series with the super regional trips to Kinston, North Carolina in 01 and to Atlanta, Georgia in 05. And even though they punched their ticket yesterday from Knoxville, which was really awesome, I still think the fact that they didn't have to come out of the loser's bracket in Knoxville really greased the skids for everything that we've just seen happen over these last five games.
When we're sitting here, you know, a couple of miles from Hawkins Field, and Vanderbilt has been really kind of the class of one of the top classes in college baseball for a while now, and we know what Tim Corbin has done. What does it mean from your perspective, John, for the state of Tennessee to potentially have two powers where a real rivalry could develop, where the fans could finally just have fun because they're backing winners in multiple spots in the same conference and the most dominant conference, to say the least, in college baseball as well?
Yeah, and right now the Volunteer State's looking pretty good, as they are the only SEC team that have punched their tickets to Omaha. No doubt about it. Tim Corbin has set the bar really high. Mm-hmm. When you consider that they are the reigning College World Series champs, also consider what that was in 2019, which is the greatest single SEC season ever. You win the regular season, you win the SEC tournament, you win the College World Series, and that's just a testament to what that team was able to get done. Anybody can only match that going forward. Nobody can top that. Arkansas, I thought, might have a chance to take a run at it, but they ran into some problems with their starting pitching, and they're not going to make after they pulled the rare double, which is the regular season and conference tournament championship. So I just think it's, one, a reflection of what is outstanding homegrown talent. And I realize both Tennessee and Vanderbilt recruit well beyond the state of Tennessee, yeah. But I also think it's a celebration. We have great baseball east to west when it comes to the high school ranks. So I do think you can recruit heavily within your own backyard and then go out and add to your roster, as both coaches have done, Corbin and for as long as he has, and Tony Vitello and what he's proven in his 4 years. But I just think this is a sport where both the Knoxville and Nashville locations in the Southeastern Conference can compete on a national level, as Vanderbilt obviously has shown.
Yeah, and look, it's perfect timing because all the other sports aren't doing anything locally in the state, so they basically have all the attention. So the timing's right. So we do a birthday segment at the end of the third hour, and Ramon gets them wrong repeatedly, and it makes for really good radio. No, yeah, they feel right, but they're wrong. Right. Today would have been Pat Summitt's 69th birthday. As somebody that is so near and dear to just Vol Nation, they've heard your voice, John, for such a long time, it would be remiss of us not to get your thoughts on the great Pat Summitt before we let you go.
Yeah, Pat was just simply one of the best people I've ever had the pleasure to know. And she was, and one of the things that showcased that, I was working at one point in another life as a news director at a adult contemporary station. So we played the old hits. And so I was starting to just dabble in covering sports. And so I set up an interview with Pat. And, I mean, she sat next to me. She was so engaged in that conversation. I mean, it was as if I was with the national media. So she had that way of making anybody she dealt with feel so incredibly important. She was so gracious with her time, and the way she treated anybody was the way she treated everybody. Mm-hmm. And then you add to that somebody who changed not just her sport, but the world. You can't say enough about Pat Summitt, the person she was, the coach she was, but again, she's tops because of the lady she was.
Mm-hmm. It was only one coach on the campus from 04 to 08 who I was starstruck by. And Fulmer is great. Loved him. Bruce Pearl, awesome. All of that. But meeting Pat Summitt on campus and seeing just how cool she was. Hey, she deserves everything, okay? That woman was a legend.
Yep, absolutely the standard. All right, John. Well, we don't know how far they're going to take it. But there's a good chance that a team from Tennessee is going to be playing when this thing is all said and done. But it's awesome to have two teams, and it's awesome to see Knoxville rocking again for positive reasons. And it's great that we've had some time with you this morning.
Really appreciate the invitation. Guys, anytime. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. That's John Wilkerson, voice of Vol Baseball. He's had some fun the last few months.
Oh, man. We got to have him back and ask him, you know what? What is it going to take? You already know what I'm talking about when it comes to that baseball team.
Yeah, keeping Tony V.
What is it going to take?
In-house. We'll finish up the hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio when we come back. Moan, Amani Hooker, the Titans tweeted out it's his birthday. To which I responded, yes, and Ramon Foster wishes him a happy birthday too, but also thought he was a New York Giant. We'll be right back. It is J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.